They're not lazy. This is just a limited edition episode. It's Journeys Weekly.
Limited edition? Ooh, should I add some sparkles or something?
Off a little bit of a break.
I thought you already had like some glitter drops or something that was going to confetti, like animations happen. Really?
I'm not as prepared as you are with all the sound drops, sir.
Yeah, I'm prepared. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Journeys Weekly episode number
311.
Well, I guess it's 3. Hey, actually, that's
the blind episode.
In that case, it's 311. Let's get this right, okay? There's a right way to do things. There's a wrong way to do things. Let's make them happen. The folks bringing things to you on this fine day, the lady who does have what folks like to call the ideas. Sure, that's a good word for it. Joining us this fine, fantastic evening. Oh my God, everyone's wow, that's crazy. Guess what? Everyone's intros are gone. Yay! They're not there. They're not there.
Just push a random button. It'll be funny. It'll be like intro roulette.
Sure. This is yours.
So, is that why you're being such a bitch?
Fair enough. Okay. And with no warning whatsoever as to what this possibly is, hey, everybody, look, Carol is here.
Oh, I never thought I'd say this, but I really miss the Zima.
And, of course, the man known far and wide that there's podcasters with Siegfried.
Don't get me wrong, I'd still do her.
Oh, please, you do name a noun.
Oh, God. Hi, everyone. And I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
See how I let that just go by? Look at me. I am the perfect gentleman.
It's crazy. There was two intros left up on the thing. The other two are missing. I don't know where the hell they are because they were there yesterday when I checked all this. Yay. This is why you should check things ahead of time. So, other than being a jackass and totally screwing up at the beginning of a show, what's been going on lately, yo?
It's all good. We don't have to be perfect. And honestly, I thought those were really funny. So, good for you.
So how dare me put forth an effort?
Dude, not only did I have serious ADHD. I 100% forgot about the show. But in like an instant, I put together a perfect Geeky's Week where I didn't forget a single solitary thing and found a great news story. So just so you know, I'm a consummate mother FN professional.
Make sure you send me the link so I can update the notes then.
I put it in the Google Doc.
Okay.
Because remember, if you're going to do a podcast, you got to have a Google Doc. Have you made that as a drop yet? Is that today's stinger? I don't want to spoil it.
That's okay. Actually in Podcasting for Dummies. I just don't know where my copy is right now.
The one that we autographed? We all autographed for each other.
It's not a stinger. It's not a stinger, but if you'd like it.
First of all, a podcast takes a lot of work, okay?
Thank you. I also updated the data validation with the drop down so that there would be some more dates. So I'll fix that. I'll add more dates. I guess I wasn't sure how long we'd last when I first set it up, or else I just got tired of adding in dates. I was like, whatever.
She's like,
Is that why you forgot about today's episode? Because it the last one was last week, and you were just like, oh, I guess we're not doing it.
I guess we're not doing it anymore. I guess the world did end with the eclipse.
Backed by popular demand of three of the four hosts of this show, it's GRD.
Oh, congratulations, everyone, on surviving the last rapture. Just so you know, the next one is scheduled for April 23rd.
Look, I was just as surprised as anybody else that it actually didn't happen, because it did happen on Rex Manning Day.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And the next eclipse on Rex Manning Day will not occur for 347 years.
Well, I'll see you guys at that one.
Exactly.
The eclipse was fun. Go ahead.
Oh, just even better real quick for the April 23rd apocalypse rapture. This one's fantastic because there's like some Bible verse about a woman with the sun and water and a pointed hat thing. And this actually ties into when this April 23rd Virgo is going to be zodiac and biblical verses are coming together for the rapture now. Because Virgo is going to be somewhere. It means the rapture is the end of the world. Awesome. That's the world we live in now.
Yeah. When you explained it to me the other day, it made more sense, but it doesn't make sense.
I was actually reading the thing. I was reading the article.
But I did watch the eclipse. Somebody at work brought a bunch of glasses, so we all went outside and then like let every passerby who happened to walk by on the street, because I work downtown in the city now, so there's just a bunch of random people that walk by. So we were sharing glasses. It was quite a community event. It was very fun. We got out there a good 20 minutes beforehand. We took a big selfie in the elevator. I felt like Ellen. It was cool because it was like an appreciation of science. And it's like, I was telling to somebody, I said, you know, no other day of the year am I ever even compelled to look directly at the sun, but today I want to so bad. Just look right at it. I mean, obviously, you know, don't do that, but like, I've never felt compelled to stare directly at the sun, and I just really wanted to. But we had the glasses and everything, and it was really fun. Did you all make it out to watch the eclipse?
Yeah, for like 2 minutes, I had my glasses, went out there, looked at it, went, came back in, went back to work. So,
are you 100% remote all the time?
Yeah.
See,
so I just kind of went out my front door.
Yeah, I was talking about that with a coworker the other day. How about we do a hybrid schedule where we go in part like 3 days a week and two from home, which I really like. I also like being around people like a lot. So, I don't know. I think work from home all the time would be. I don't know that I would.
They determined that we were twice as effective when we were at home, so they just left us here.
Well, I do like being able to throw in a load of laundry on my lunch break. That's pretty nice. There's that.
I like working with no pants. Yeah.
Did you see the eclipse, Rich?
I saw the I got out there about 10 minutes after it had, you know, hit its zenith or peak or whatever. I saw a little bit of it. It was really cool just because it was so dark. Outside
during an
eclipse. It wasn't, I mean, nowhere near totality, obviously, but it was like that there was somebody had kind of hazy. Put a filter over it and adjusted the opacity to like 60%. So it was that eerie darkness.
Interesting. Well, because I don't want to put your whole business out there as far as where you live or whatever, because, you know, whatever. But I think you're west of us, so you maybe were closer, because it didn't get like dark. It got like a little hazy.
Yeah, I mean, it would, like I said, about 60% bright, as bright as it normally was or so. It was really neat. Yeah, no, I'm south of you guys.
I knew that part, dumbass, but I just feel like... I know where states west, are. Okay.
I'm actually the next house over. It is a little awkward now telling you about this. I've just been avoiding you guys for the past few years. It was really cool. I didn't have any of the glasses because it's just one of those things that snuck up on me. I just totally forgot that it was going to be a thing. I was legitimately remembered that it was Rex Manning Day more than it was this really rare eclipse and apocalypse and rapture and stuff like that.
The eclipse phenomenon?
Really? I'm looking at stuff and you want to mess with
me? Phenomenon.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm finding it interesting.
It happened really quickly. It was like it was over in a flash.
Looking at Cartwall, like
over in a flash.
Nope, didn't do it. You're not talking about the right flash. Looking at Cartwall, it's weird because, like, so your intro is missing, and Flint's, your intro is missing. Mm-hmm. Carol, yours is there, and mine is there. Their intro has disappeared. I don't know where they went. That's weird.
Oh. Right.
No, fortunately, we're past the intro. So, I mean, is everything else there?
I don't know.
You got like chabby music?
It doesn't.
Yeah, we'll find out.
You know, whatever. We'll figure it out. Nobody cares. It doesn't
also
matter.
You know, kind of tangential, like with my same like work crew, when our like vendor team is in town, they don't come every week. With the we go and do some like fun excursion with them after work hours. So we went rock climbing at one of those like indoor rock climbing places, and it was really fun. But like, that's way harder than you think it is. Like, I got about 80% of the way up on my second attempt. The first time I got about halfway up. And then I was like, whoa, this hurts everywhere. So I was like, I'm done taking my fat ass back down the thing, right? But then I was like, okay, I paid like, you know, $25 to do this. I'm going to try again, right? So I go up this different course and I get almost all the way up. And then one of the foot jabbies, I don't know what they're called, started to sort of move a little. And I was like, oh, get me off of here. I'm not slipping and fall. I mean, like, it's not like you fall, you know, because they have all that like safety stuff. But we did have to sign like multiple waivers, but it was super fun. And then this is what makes it sort of geeky. Oh, and I forgot something about the eclipse that was geeky. One of my coworkers did play Total Eclipse of the Heart on her phone while we were out watching the eclipse, because it's like a matter of seconds.
4 seconds difference from the totality and the song.
Yeah. And I had a friend, a coworker who actually traveled to like the San Antonio area to be in the path of the totality. So I thought that was kind of cool.
I mean, the only other song you could really play would be Black Hole Sun, I suppose.
Yeah, that'd be a pretty good one. Very pretty good one. And then since I have Photoshop and I was playing it around with generative fill because I've been wanting to mess with that, I took a picture that one of my coworkers had taken of me on the rock climbing wall, and I have Photoshopped myself onto all of like famous mountains of the world, like the top of Everest and like Mount Rushmore. And yeah, so I'll put, I might put a couple of them in the chat or in like the, maybe the GRD group, because it's pretty funny how they came out. Or if you, you know, if we're friends on like Instagram or Facebook, GRD today. But yeah, that was, I was like, oh, let me play around with this Photoshop. And I didn't actually like the way it auto selected. So I ended up going in and like kind of refining the selection, but it was better than like, it used to be, you know, 5 years ago, for sure. I feel like we're getting to the point where you won't even have to know how to use Photoshop anymore, but that's okay. I don't need to gatekeep Photoshopping skills from others, but it took me a long time to learn it. So I'm kind of like, but cancel student loan debt. Anyway,
good luck. Let's see. Keep in mind that the administration is doing what they can, but there's limited as to what they can do.
That's true. I just meant it sounded for a second there like I was making a parallel between like I had to suffer, so you should too. And I don't mean that, but it did take me a long time to learn how to Photoshop. So I don't, you know, I don't mean that everyone else needs to also go through that like suffering.
At this point in time, Canva with the paid subscription, there isn't that much more that you can do with Photoshop that you can't do with that. It has amazing green screen removal features.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff.
And they've got all the generative stuff too. We use we even sometimes use the Magic Write, like the, you type in what you want it to say, and then they have like different style choices. You can make it sound more flowery. You can make it sound more professional. You can make it like, so it uses the, I mean, basically the same exact machine learning stuff that ChatGPT, et cetera, right? But like built right into Canva. So if you're working on a presentation, it's just there. So that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. We are not sponsored by Canva, but Canva, if you want to, you know, by all means,
Pro podcast accounts are at awesome.
geekradiodaily.com.
Sorry.
Thank you. Okay. Star Trek Discovery is back on TV.
Yeah, it is.
There's an episode that I see that we have to watch, that we could watch tonight if we wanted to, episode 3. So Billy and I have watched, Billy Flynn and I have watched 2 episodes of, I don't know why I called you Billy. We watched 2 episodes of Star Trek Discovery.
Says a lot.
Go ahead.
No.
Oh, it sounded like you were going to say something.
No, I just said it says a lot.
Well, you know, they spent the whole, like, the last episode of season 2, everybody splitting up and going their own separate ways, right? Tilly's going back to the Academy. I don't think it's a spoiler at this point because they're starting the new season. I think that fits into our realm, right? But they all kind of are, like, going off and doing their own thing. And then it's like the very first episode, they contrive to get them all back together. It's like we never had any, like, tension or Burnham having to do things on her own, you know. So I guess actually that probably is sort of a spoiler if you haven't like started.
Oh God!
But if you've seen any trailers or anything, I mean, it's like they're going to bring everybody back, but then they're turning right around, and also then they're going to, after this mission or after this day. It's weird when they say day, like good day at work, right? And Starfleet is just weird because I don't know. I just feel like days aren't the same when you're not on like a world with like the sun cycle. I am so babbling. Anyway, Flynn, what did you think of Star Trek Discovery?
I enjoy Star Trek.
So, look, since this is a Star Trek show,
Callum Keith Ritty is in it now. The man is awesome. I've watched him in things people have never even heard of.
Mm-hmm.
That guy is incredible to watch. That's fantastic. So and him,
I know him from something. He was a bad guy in something.
He was
right?
a bad guy in most things.
He was a bad guy in Battlestar Galactica, is where you know him from.
Oh right, yep. Right, yes.
But I know him from Due South. Ha.
Yeah, he's a really good actor, and I'm stoked to see how they're going to use him. And I think that there was a really good template with the one dude that was in Picard.
Yeah.
The other captain that was in Picard, yes. Where they basically
the Spanish guy?
Had a ship. No, not the Spanish guy. The
guy whose ship they had.
Engineer and now a captain. And right. Was not a fan of Picard. Okay. He was... I think that he's kind of the template for what they're doing with Callum. So I think it'll be good. I like the direction they're going with. This is obviously the final season of Discovery. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's off to a really good start. I'm looking forward to, and I have no qualms with old crew members coming on back that we had said goodbye to and whatnot. But as long as we get a little bit more Tig, we definitely want more Tig.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think that if they keep going on with the direction they're going, it's going to be a lot of fun, man. It is tough to talk about without some spoilers, but
right.
I think it's
and
great.
And you know, because of that whole like bringing back the people and then them going their own ways, et mm-hmm. cetera, that kind of thing. There's been a fair amount of nostalgia retrospective on kind of like, remember when we first met and, you know, you saw something in me kind of like, yeah. thanks for everything sort of like moments that mm-hmm. make you think about how far the show has really come. Like literally you talk about time jumping in shows. Like this has to be one of the most significant gaps, right?
I mean, I suppose next to the Planet of the Apes TV show. Or
yeah, you got me there.
Land of the Lost. Or
Land of the Lost, yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
Well, yeah. Doctor Who.
But it's
Who.
A pretty significant one.
I mean, I don't know exactly how far they often went on the time tunnel, but a couple of those episodes might have.
Maybe.
I'm sorry, the time tunnel in color.
In color.
Oh. Although, can we admit that Tilly's hair, when we first saw her back, was ridiculous. That curly mullet thing that she had.
That does not flatter her as well as her previous hairdo did.
No.
It does not at all.
They put it up in a nice way for the rest of the episode. It was like, oh,
but still,
there's
no. I want her hair the other way.
Comparably, it doesn't live up at all, but at least it wasn't that stupid mullet that she, poodle mullet thing.
And like when your hair is such a big defining feature of like your physicality like that, you know, it's like when Felicity cut her hair, remember that? Cause she had that long, like super curly hair. So at least she didn't cut it, or at least I don't, or maybe, I mean she did, but at least she didn't cut it all off. So I don't know. Anyway.
No, I watch manly shows, but I do remember when Rachel Aniston changed her.
I like the short haired Felicity.
It was more like I just dated myself with that reference. Cause that was not exactly a recent show.
Next up on GRD, who shot JR?
I mean, I'm sure it was like, what, 10, 15 years ago?
Probably more like, yeah, I don't even want to.
No, don't think about it. Just don't think about it.
No. I watched The Crown and I've been watching episodes of that. And like, okay, it's kind of messed up. Like, I didn't cry when Princess Diana died, or maybe teared up a little bit, but I really cried when Princess Margaret died, her sister, the Queen's sister, because like she was an established character from the earlier seasons, right? Like we see her over the course of her entire life. And even though, and it was really kind of, they were both obviously very tragic, like, you know, whatever. But yeah, it's interesting that whole mix of like what is fiction and what is reality there. And I really shouldn't care. I should let them have their privacy and not watch the show, but it's entertaining and I enjoy it. We also started watching Has Been Hotel. That's on Amazon Prime. And what is her like name that she goes by? Wednesday something?
Wednesday Adams?
No. I meant like Brittany. What is Brittany's like name in the world of things? Anyway, I guess she has like a cosplay name. I was just going to like shout her out or whatever. Okay. But she had done a Wednesday morning, like M-O-U-R-N, right? The whole morning play on words. Got it. Okay. So take two. Wednesday morning had done a really cool song from Has Been Hotel at karaoke the last time that we hosted karaoke. And I was like, what the heck is that show? And so that show is random. It is pretty messed up. And then all of a sudden they burst into like really, really well done songs and that are also so inappropriate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a show. Yes. Have you all seen it?
Yeah.
I haven't seen the stuff that's on the latest stuff. I saw it when it was on, when it was like YouTube, small animations and stuff. My kids showed them to me and I was just like, wow, this is never going to be on TV. And then of course, you know, fast forward.
Has anyone gotten contact with you about last minute throwing a costume together?
No.
Me? In the past?
No, not you, sir. Well, I told people they should because I found out that the group, remember how last year you joined the whole Mario group?
Mm-hmm.
This year they're doing Has Been Hotel.
Oh, well,
wow! You hear? Yeah, I'm going to do that. Oh, wow! Well,
no, it was the enthusiasm there.
Just wow! Just overwhelmed me.
Well, no, I decided that I wasn't going to cosplay at all this year at RavenCon. I don't know. Well, because like you remember last year, I sort of like entered the masquerade because MJ wanted to do it. right? I joined in with their group cosplay because I thought it would be fun and something I could put together and something that I like to do. I was all about that. But then MJ wanted me to be in the masquerade with her, and then I ended up like winning best of show.
Yep.
So it was kind of weird. And so I'm just like, I don't see how
I'm going out on top.
So I don't see how I top that. So I was planning on
put the wig on again
off from cosplaying.
Well, what you can do is if you enter when they're signing you up, just say, I wish not to be in the running for any prizes or anything like that. And then it, for you, it's an exhibition sort of a thing. And you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Well, no, I was just planning on not packing and bringing any kind of costume at all. And just enjoying myself. Yes, my non-costume. Carol, will we see Mrs. Roper?
Huh?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Ooh.
Yes. And probably Friday night.
Okay.
We'll be hanging out at the bar. So come and knock on our door. We'll be waiting.
I see what you did there.
I don't know. Now I'm feeling like, well, what if I do accidentally hit like a last minute like bug, get a decision that I actually want to do something?
But that is one of the most comfortable cosplays I've ever done. Seriously. I think I have entered the caftan phase of my life. They're just... It was just so comfortable walking
around.
Where
did you even find it? Did you get it online?
No, I just got it off of Amazon. Just search Mrs. Roper caftan or Mrs. Roper wig. Wow. They have a whole selection.
That's awesome. I remember, I was thinking, oh, maybe Goodwill. Like, you could always look at Goodwill.
Yeah,
but,
you can always do that. I mean, caftans are easy. I've planned on making one from, like, gothy fabric. So I can be, like, the goth Mrs. Roper.
Oh, that's hilarious. Would you have the black wig, the black curly wig?
I would get like a prank wig or something.
Oh my God, that's so funny. That's awesome. Love that. You could each do like different versions of Mrs. Roper. That's really hilarious. That's hilarious.
I want to be Mrs. Roper.
I'd be like roller derby Roper.
And yeah, there you go.
Skates. Oh my God, that would be funny. Okay. Obviously, Tracker. We're still watching Tracker, and we will forever. And it's fun, and we enjoy it.
Look, the show's good. His shirt hasn't been off for many episodes now. It's still a good show.
And we're still watching. Still a good show. So it must be good.
Hope springs eternal.
Well,
that's true.
There is that.
It does. Yeah. But he's had a couple of, like, will they, won't me, won't they kind of, like, women in his life. Like, a rival and, like, his ex who's still sort of around. So, you know, there's always potential. But he's a loner and he doesn't want to connect with anybody. So, you know.
He doesn't, you know what's great for that? Cruising spots. Hi, everyone. How you doing? How you doing?
Wow.
I mean, I'd watch that show.
Yeah. We also watch Top Chef, and that's on. We're behind one episode on that, but it's always a good time. Even though I it's rigged and I know it, and I don't know. I think the reason why we always wanted to watch it, right, was because it was about the food and about the cooking, and you could sort of suspend your disbelief that it was rigged like every other like stupid reality show, right? You know they have them cook it multiple times, right? Mm-hmm. You know some of the behind the scenes stuff. But one of the in this season, one of the guys like got drunk and was stupid and insulted people, and they like kicked him off the show. He had lost, and they have this thing, this last chance kitchen, where like the person who loses fights against everybody else and they get a chance to get back into the competition. And then, so instead of doing that, they bring in an alternate, like the 16th guy, which makes sense, except they say if he can get through five people, he we'll get back into the competition then, right? He doesn't have to go all the way through from start to finish if he can get through five people. So it's kind of like, well, you're not going to have him go out on the very first one because like that doesn't make for good television, you know? So I'm not saying that they're like, I am, I guess I'm accusing them
you
of
are,
like,
you 100% are accusing me
of rigging the show. But it just seemed, I was just like, there's no way that he loses that. They don't bring him in and go through all that fanfare. And then he doesn't even make it past the first round. I don't know.
See, so you don't appreciate any of his efforts at all. My gosh. Man's working his ass off. And you're like, he's a shill.
Way better than me. No, he's way better than me. I'm just saying.
If I may, just say Dana Gould's take on reality TV. You are watching people that are not actors in phony situations created by people that are not writers, and the non-actors are second-guessing how they think you would like to see them behave were this situation genuine, which it isn't, and you are passively observing this. You're technically not even alive at this point. You are watching an amateur production of nothing.
Nice.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's like looking at a picture of a photocopy of a fax of a hologram.
So,
except for the Great British Bake Off. That's totally real.
Right. Yeah, 100%. Right. That's totally real. Mm-hmm.
So very quickly, we watched Top Chef because someone used to watch really effing horrible reality shows. Real World Road Rules Challenge. And I had no interest at all. I would literally go to another room and do my own thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, what about this Top Chef? What is it about? So I said, all right, so there's no like who's hooking up with who. There's none of nothing, really? It's just about the food? Okay, I'll watch the show. That's how they got me.
It generally is. There's every now and then there's a contestant who's a total a-hole, and like you know, there is some people drama, but they generally get along with each other because they're just trying to cook their best food. So anyway, and then last on the list, I think we may have one episode that we're behind on, but we watched Bad Batch, and absolutely love Bad Batch. And so I think we're finally really getting to this whole thing. And like, it's kind of dark a little bit, obviously, you know, I mean, it can get there sometimes with Star Wars, but, yeah, like Omega knows that she just can't run forever, and yeah, it's interesting to see where the season is going to go. So I do absolutely love Bad Batch. So yeah, well, I'm sorry I talked for like a while, but that has been my geekiest week, and Flynn will be able to tell me if I actually forgot anything or not.
No, I just wrote down what I did.
Okay, yeah, we do have stuff that we don't always do everything together.
Tell me about it.
I'll go next. Movie-wise, I went to the theater twice. I went and saw Monkey Man, which is the directorial debut of Dev Patel.
Nice.
It's been called the Indian John Wick, and he does lean into that a couple of times, but it deals with a lot of political intrigue in India and human rights. It's really good. The shaky cam gets a bit much in some of the fight scenes, but I'm impressed that this is, yeah. But he does weird things with the camera as well during some of the fight scenes. So it's interesting. I look forward to seeing what he does next. That one I gave four popcorn buckets. It was really entertaining, but it is incredibly violent and very bloody.
Okay.
So just keep in mind, it earns that R rating.
What was it called again?
Monkey Man.
Oh.
Yeah, yes. He plays an underground fighter. Who
I have seen the trailer. I just
is half monkey, half man.
I don't fighting think mole so. People.
But he fights in a monkey.
Is
mask
it the top half or the bottom half?
Sorry. He's like a human monkey centaur, where he's just got a paws and a tail, but then the rest up, it's Dev Patel.
Just a big muscle guy, kind of whooping around like a baboon. okay. Then I went and saw Godzilla Times Kong, Godzilla Plus Kong, Godzilla Kong,
Godzilla the new Kong.
Godzilla Cross Kong.
Empire.
you had an entire monkey weekend apparently.
Yeah, I did. It's fine. If Godzilla minus this has the
you can't compare
unfortunate the thing of following Godzilla minus one, and nothing is going to look good compared to Godzilla minus one. So if Godzilla minus one is akin to the original Gojira, this is akin to Godzilla versus Megalon, where instead of Jet Jaguar, you have King Kong.
Oh.
So, what about Gamera? He is friend to all children.
Well, Mothra is there. She is friend to one children.
Incidentally, didn't you also watch Curious George versus Mothra?
I also watched Dunstan Checked In. And,
versus
BJ the Bear. I did a
Mechagodzilla.
She watched Ed. Remember Ed?
God. But it's fine. It's all CGI. I will say, I went with a friend and her 12-year-old daughter, who I introduced to Godzilla, and she is a huge fan. And halfway through the film, she leaned over and said, "They need to remember who got top billing in this picture, because it is very King Kong centric."
Should be calling somebody's representation.
Yeah, she was very not pleased that Godzilla kind of got backseated in this film.
Nobody puts Godzilla in a corner.
nobody puts that lizard in a corner. So yeah, but it's fine. It's fun. It's stupid science. Really, really stupid science. And you have a small King Kong finds more apes, and this little kid ape hangs out with him. I immediately dubbed him Kongzuki, and I don't, he apparently had a name, but I don't even know what it was. But it just reminded me of the monkeys from the first Jumanji movie, the Robin Williams Jumanji movie. It doesn't look good.
Okay.
So Kong looks good. Godzilla looks good. Everything around them looks a little. Oh, and there are some humans that do things. So it's fine. I gave it 3 popcorn buckets. It's fine. And then TV-wise, I watched the Apple TV documentary, 2-part documentary on Steve Martin called Steve Martin. The first part deals with his stand-up career, and then the second part deals with everything else. I will say I enjoyed part one quite a bit. Part two seemed very light on information, but it's a documentary on Steve Martin, and he is notoriously private, so I didn't expect an in-depth documentary. I heard he has
quite the art collection.
Yeah. He's done exhibitions of his art. And it does go into his art collections as well. I wanted a bit more on his writing, and they just gloss over that really quickly. It's obvious some things were off the table. They don't mention Bernadette Peters at all. And they don't interview Victoria Tennant. So he mentions like his first marriage for like 30 seconds, mm-hmm. and that's it. It's fun to watch Steve Martin. So they also enjoyed it.
Don't talk about the Pink Panther.
He does mention the Pink
Panther. Are you kidding me? Why? Oh, God.
Oddly enough, for his film career, great. They actually kind of focus on the flops or the bad films.
Okay.
Like, the film they most talk about is Pennies from Heaven, which is a film I actually really love, but it just died at the box office and was trashed by critics. So it's weird, but they focus on his poorly received films rather than like Roxanne or Parenthood.
The Jerk.
Part of me wonders
they do
if
a
that
little
was
bit
a
on The Jerk, but
part of me wonders if that was a requirement for him.
I think so, because he does like to dwell on his failings.
Hey, look, not enough people talk about Dead Man Don't Wear Plaid.
That True. One he oddly did not mention.
Are you kidding me? That's a great
Man
movie.
Two Brains. Come on now.
Yeah, I was hoping they would mention like Novocaine too, but it's very kind of just gloss, picks and choose which ones he talks about. The second part was kind of odd, but I did like the fact that he insisted that his daughter not be shown. And she's 7, so obviously,
Attaboy, Steve Martin.
Yeah. Right? His wife is significantly younger than he is.
No.
I think there's like 30 years between them, but I can't say anything because she met him in her late 30s, so I'm not going to, it's like, yeah.
It's
you
not
know
like
you.
She was young.
Yeah, it's
right.
not like she was 21. He has a 7-year-old daughter, and whenever, she only comes on screen once. And they do like this huge stick drawing of a little girl that goes over her as she That's goes funny. To hug him and then leave the room. So, great. But they do talk to his wife, and it's a good documentary, but don't expect to learn a whole bunch about.
Do they have a lot of like clips from his stand-up?
From stand-up, the first hour is all of his stand-up, and they have a lot of clips.
Good.
Plus, he kept like detailed journals throughout his stand-up career. Mm. So they refer to that, and he still has them. So he refers to that occasionally. Like, oh, here's my notes on this show back when, and, you know, this joke didn't work, but that did. And then they have, like, extended periods of him and Martin Short going through lists of jokes for their tour. Mm. And that's fun.
I still got to watch that.
Ugh. Yeah, so that's fun. Those two are like a old married couple. It's fun watching them work together. And then I also watched the first episode, the big episode of Fallout on Amazon Prime, and I actually enjoyed that. I've never played the game, but I thought the first episode was really, really good, and I'm looking forward to it. And you can't go wrong with, what's his name, Walter Croggins?
Walton Goggins.
Walton Goggins.
I always like screw his name because he's got a weird ass name, but he's excellent in everything he is in, and I'm assuming his part will get bigger as the show goes on.
Okay.
I mean, he's playing a ghoul. Nothing much is going to get bigger. Anyway, I'm assuming his role will get bigger because he just kind of tail ends the first episode.
Oh God, did she just freeze again?
Looks like it.
Wow. She hasn't frozen an episode. That's crazy. Normally we get it all taken.
Sorry, I had to look up who he is. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Can you turn your camera on and off real quick?
Jesus.
Never mind. You're good.
Okay. Nope. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to do whatever the hell I want to do.
No, she did. But then she didn't.
The computer just did it without me doing anything.
And then there she is. Okay. And then I caught up on X-Men 97, and I didn't have blubbering over a retro cartoon on my bingo card, but there it is. Thank you, episode 5. For nothing. It was my favorite character.
I have heard people talking about the episode. They didn't spoil it, but I have heard people talking about it.
Again, I got to remind people that the X-Men have always been woke. But yeah, X-Men 97 is going to rub your damn face in it.
Yeah. I need to catch up on Shogun and Three Body Problem, but that's what I watched on TV. Yay. And then last week, I don't know what the hell. My ADHD, I tend to hyper-focus on one thing for like several days. And last week I focused on Valley of the Dolls for some fucking reason. I'm sorry. I think it's because I found my Criterion Collection copy of the movie. So I watched that, and then I read that. And then I read Dolls, 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 which is the backstory of the making of the movie. And so I valued the hell out of my dolls last week.
You know, I think of it more of like reuniting with an old friend, because when something comes along that really like makes a big impact on you, and then you know you take a break from it because you don't just watch the same thing over and over and over again, it's like, oh hey, how have you been, you know?
And I will say this is a bad movie. It's Valley of the Dolls is a terrible film, and the book is equally terrible, but they're both fun. So
and you like, you're allowed to like what you like.
Yeah, I like bad movies, and I don't make fun of this one a lot because it stars Sharon Tate, and I can't make fun of her because of how she died.
Well, I mean, I'll take a stab at it.
Boo. That's Billy Flynn at geekcreodaily.com.
Didn't either Siskel or Ebert write?
Ebert wrote Beyond the Valley of the Dolls.
Beyond, yes. Okay.
Yes,
I did watch that as well. Yes, that it. I mean, it has nothing to do with the original book, but and it's
because it's beyond.
It's insane, and it's terrible. It's terrible, even worse than the original, than the first film. So, and then I watched The Eclipse, and that was basically my geeky.
I too watched the first two episodes of Discovery. Loved it. I'm super stoked it's back. I'm sad that it's going, but Discovery as a show has been on a hell of a journey. I liked what they did when it was Brian Fuller. It did get a bit kooky. And then once they got the new showrunners, it seemed to kind of write into this standard Star Trek fare, but better. And then, of course, without it, we wouldn't have Strange New Worlds, which to me is pretty much my favorite Star Trek. Star Trek. Otherwise, it's Lower Decks, but that's not really Star Trek, but it's Star Trek. But it's, you know, kind of like how Tag and Bink aren't really Star Wars, right. But they are, you know. Also watched the first
two episodes. Lower Decks did cross over with, and I mean, Riker did in Lower Decks. I don't know. I think Lower Decks counts.
And that, I'm saying it's Star Trek, but it's not like serious Star Trek, you know. It's like a different vibe. But saw the first two episodes of Fallout. Oh, so good. I am looking forward to the rest of that show. I love what they're doing.
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's If you haven't watched, I highly recommend
it. If you want.
If you're an Uber fan of the game and you don't like the changes, shut it. Okay. Because the movie, the any TV show or movie is not going to be as good as the game. It's a different storytelling method, budgets, people, things like that. Enjoy it for what it is.
Do the duffel bags look good?
Medium. And it is very, very good.
Okay.
It's got that same dark, twisted sense of humor too. Oh, in some of the best ways. Yeah. No, Flynn, Terry, you guys are going to love it. Good. And Billy, you'll be proud of me. I finally was able to sit down and watch Confess Fletch.
Nice.
And yeah. I loved it. John right. Hamm is Fletch to me now.
He was so good. He did that so well. It was like the guy I read on the pages. He really brought that to life wonderfully.
Oh, like that. That is a movie I will be able to watch over and over and over again, just like I can with the original Fletch. And Fletch Lives, but they're very different movies. They're very different. The storytelling's different. Chevy Chase was going punchline to punchline, whereas John Hamm was throwing stuff out a lot like Hawkeye would in MASH, where it's like he wasn't throwing it to an audience expecting applause. He said it to entertain himself. and through that, it entertained all of us. And I absolutely adored it. Still playing a lot of GTA RP, a bunch of 5M. Loving that. Got some big fun stuff coming up with that hopefully soon. And yeah, the Eclipse was really cool. I already talked about that. So that had, oh, and I plugged in a Roomba for the first time. So okay. I'm looking forward to seeing how that works. And that has been my geeky suite.
It rolls around and vacuums stuff up.
Right.
But I wonder what curious. Your cats are going to think about it.
Yes, that's the big thing.
So, we watch Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
I don't care.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care. I had a damn fine time with it. I really did. I was expecting to be very disappointed in this film. I really, really, really was. And I was not very disappointed in this film.
I get what you're talking about with the nostalgia, but I love the way they worked it in, especially Paul Rudd's little moment about, you know, who you're going to call and how busting makes him feel. I thought was worked in very, 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 very well. So yeah, I could stand to see a few more of these with these people.
I just need more Paul Rudd and the Spanglers and less of the old guys. Even though Ernie Hudson looked astounding,
the world went crazy. That, they did.
I liked some of the So I texted my niece. We went to see it. Flynn and I went to see it. And then my niece took MJ to go see it. And I was like, oh, there's a couple of little scary parts. You know, like, is she going to be okay? She's completely fine. But I said something about, you know, there's this one sort of jump scare where Slimer. And she goes, she texted me back. She goes, no, we're going to see the new one, not the originals. And I went, oops. Okay, that might have been a little bit of a spoiler.
Well, I mean...
Oh, well, that's one thing that I missed from my Geeky Week. I started playing the Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed game. It's a asynchronous 4v1, and it's a blast, and you can play it against bots, and I've been doing that and loving it, too. Okay,
sorry. Now, see, and because we did this, since I have, you know, the fancy new laptop that's awesome and will actually play things, I fired back up the other Ghostbusters video games, basically the Ghostbusters 3 that they did with all the guys, you know, and Dan and Harold wrote the damn game script and everything. It's so good. That is so good. And so much better than the crappy one I played on the ColecoVision way back in the day. Cause I'm a bit old. I've read the first issue of Batman the First Night. Now stand by for this amazingly crazy concept. This is Batman at the beginning of his career, you know, back in 1939 when he first came out. So it's like, wow, that's an interesting way of looking at it. So I'll stick around for some more. I want to see where this is going because it's an interesting setup. But like, you know, are you gonna give me something, or are you just gonna play around with the fact that hey, see, it's the original Batman, haha. See what we did there. I'm now up to date on Superman 78, The Metal Curtain. This is Christopher Reeve going up against Brainiac, the real Brainiac, not the fake one from Superman 3. So that is interesting on its own accord, and because I know Brainiac and what Brainiac is capable of, I
can't wait to see exactly where they're going with this, because it can't actually be Brainiac the way that I know him. Just can't be. I don't see that. So missed play, the stupid thing where you make points. So I've made enough to, I haven't cashed in the $25, but I've made $25 again because I promised my kid I'd work to 100. And currently I'm doing that by playing a bunch of Star Trek Fleet Command.
Oh.
So yeah, you get a ship, you get to go on missions, you get to do stuff. Now, of course, being one of these stupid games, you have to build things and blah, 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 blah. However, instead of being stuck, oh God, I'm building this, now I'm waiting hours and hours because I want to pay money for this to happen, while the shit's being built, get in your ship and go do missions. Hey, there you go. Get to put your own crew together. So I now have two ships out. You know, I have two ships that I get to send multiple places. I have multiple things going on. I'm also at the point now where I need to desperately upgrade my ships because the things I need to kill are far, 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 far more powerful than me. But that's a fun time. That's a fun time. I've played much, much worse, much, much worse mobile games. So because I was on the new laptop playing stuff, oh, hey, look, I have this whole collection of really cool pinball games. Oh, hey, look. Look what's on sale. I forget exactly what they called it, but it came with four tables. The four tables are a Family Guy table, an American Dad table, an Archer table, and there's also a Bob's Burgers table that I haven't played yet. But the Archer table is pretty damn spiffy. I'm enjoying the hell out of that as well. And then I fired up some of my old pinball games, like the Jaws one, which is just insane. That's so good. It's really, really good. Something that I can't say is really, really good, and I'm mixed on this, but crossing something off my list that I should have watched a couple of years ago, I finally watched The New Mutants.
Oh.
Yeah, I dodged this because of the writer's strike and whatever.
That was the one with Debbie from Will and Grace, right?
Is she in this?
No, this is the one with Arya from Game of Thrones,
Oh, okay.
Yes, yes. Love her accent, by the way. Love her accent a lot. Very nice. As an adaptation of the comic book, it is absolutely horrendous. It really is. It is not the comic book in any, at all. It is not the New Mutants comic book. It really, really is not. The story they're trying to tell, I really think if someone else had gone over this, like maybe just one more time pulling stuff together, there's a good movie in here that doesn't quite get out. That's the, I guess, the best compliment I can give it. And for those of you in the know, I will say that the big, bad, kind of crazy thing that we have to fight at the end is a little bit unbearable. And that's the only thing I'm going to say about that. And I'll let Carol roll her eyes appropriately, as she should. I am three episodes into trying out a little something on Netflix called Area 81. Area 81.
It's on your list.
There you go. An archivist guy who gets to go back and watch, you know, some old footage of stuff to try to piece together things that did happen. And of course, when it's a show like this, you're watching old footage, of course, weird, strange, crazy things start to happen. So it's been an interesting ride so far. I'm willing to keep going with it, so we will see what happens. But yeah, that's one of those things. I'm trying to pick things, and I had to turn down three other things that she says she's going to watch with me. And I was like, okay, fine. So we'll try this one here. Maybe that'll work. I believe it possibly could. So I'm kind of a slacker because that is my Geeky Week.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Chad and the gang discover a body on a development corporation's land, and then they team up with reporter Roman to investigate the whole thing. Then, you know, you need to unwind, so the gang's playing one of those newfangled online games, but what they don't know is they've started playing with a mad programmer inmate, and then try to get him to be good after he escapes. Abe discovers a secret water project when he tests the security of a chemical company for a security chief who vanishes after getting that report. Then for Sweeps Week, they all get involved with a shady computer dating service. Now, Chad knows his redhead gang can crack any case. His deadly friend can stop any trouble. His crew will knock out the barbarians at the gate. They are, after all, the ace youngsters, the virtuoso adolescents, the pea striplings. Hashtag Chabby forever.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
We do. Ha-ha. Hey, geeks. The Virginian has to be James Drury. And the only other thing that James Drury was ever in that sounded like a conflagration casa was a show called Firehouse. Bodies, Bodies, Bodies is fantastic. I really thought I had solved it. And then I got to laugh my stupid fool head off. Stay geeky. That is from Malcolm. Well, Malcolm, yes, I almost had it solved too, and then found out I was completely, completely wrong. But you were right. Last week, Chad and Abby were on a show called Firehouse. So there you go. Oh, by the way, yeah, he won because that's right. That March was the last one. So Malcolm, congratulations. You got to talk to me. We're going to get you a prize. Now, everyone needs to send in as much entries in this as humanly possible because this is technically our only show of this style. We will be doing a show at RavenCon, but we're not doing Chabby at RavenCon, right? We don't do that. I don't know. We'll see what happens. In the meantime, just drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you can send a voicemail or a text message to the magic numbers of
510-GRD-CREW.
See? Yeah, you had that. Totally. Totally. That was some good stuff. Where's the button I'm supposed to push now?
If you like audiobooks and science fiction, you should be listening to Glow in the Dark Radio for free science fiction audio adventure every week. Written and read by author and radio host Mike Luoma. Me. As an up-and-coming independent writer, I share my work for free each week, chapter by chapter, to get you into my science fiction, I hope. Check out all my books at glowinthedarkradio.com and listen to Glow in the Dark Radio free each week on iTunes, TuneIn, or just head to glowinthedarkradio.com.
Hi, this is Corin Nimick from Parker Lewis Can't Lose, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
You are. And that may or may not be indicative of anything at all. I don't know what the hell you're even talking about at this point.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Let's take a look at the world from a geeky point of view.
Dune Part 2 has been a huge hit, and perhaps only one thing could eclipse it in infamy, the viral AMC sandworm popcorn bucket that had everyone talking and doing other things. Looking back, it appears the theater chain increasing novelty popcorn holder vendor might have done things very differently if it had known how you filthy animals were going to use it. We continue to learn and evolve. We would have never imagined the Dune thing. We would never have created it knowing it would be celebrated or mocked, AMC Chief Content Officer Elizabeth Frank told Variety about the overwhelming response to the sandworm bucket, which even got cast and crew talking for its soft, wormy tendrils, driving people to go crazy with demand for the Shia Hulusi-shaped vessel. Of course, the Dune bucket even got its own SNL skit, although Frank didn't think that its success either means there's demands for the theater chain to go even more deranged for future buckets, or that the increasing trend of wildly shaped popcorn holders is suddenly a vital part of the company's plans. Though some fans are collectors, there's another group of people who are specific film fans, buying three different Ghostbusters products. It's all a mix, Frank continued. It's a material part of our food and beverage business, but it's not the majority of it. It also makes the movies more fun. I bet the Dune bucket.
Buy one for a friend.
I bet. Buy one, especially if you don't have a friend going.
It's tendrilled for his pleasure.
I bet the Dune bucket made some other things more fun too, but perhaps we shouldn't go chasing sandworms looking for another of its kind anytime soon. Unless they ever put out a sequel to Teeth.
Speaking of movies, Amazon MGM Studios has announced that Project Hail Mary will release in theaters in 2026. Revealed at CinemaCon alongside previews of other upcoming films, the announcement marks a significant milestone for fans eagerly awaiting the adaptation of Andy Weir's gripping novel. Helmed by the acclaimed directing duo Phil Lord and Chris Miller, known for their work on hits like Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs and The Lego Movie, and almost Solo, maybe. We might have had a good movie, maybe. The sci-fi epic promises to captivate audiences with its gripping storyline and a stellar cast. Leading the charge is Ryan Gosling, recognized for his versatile performances in such films as Barbie and La La Land, who not only stars in the film, but also serves as a producer. Gosling is no stranger to outer space, having previously starred in the Neil Armstrong biopic First Man. With a script penned by Drew Goddard, God dang, guys, who penned Cabin in the Woods and Bad Times at the El Royale, a movie I absolutely adore. The project is described as an irresistible interstellar adventure. It promises to deliver a tale of...
Great timing.
A tale of discovery, speculation, and survival, reminiscent of Weir's previous work, The Martian, which also received a film adaptation. I would like to say it's about time we stopped saving Matt Damon and started saving other actors from space disasters. So I'm good with saving Ryan Gosling this time.
Yay.
Saving Private Ryan Gosling.
Papa Goss, as we call him.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about AI earlier, and there's been lots of conversations about AI. Before I got out of the education industry, it was something we were working on drafting, like an AI policy for the division. And it's definitely something that, you know, a lot of people are thinking about. Teachers using Canva to, you know, make different things, ChatGPT to, you know, you put in the standards and it can make a quiz, et cetera. What could they do? What should they do? Well, Seattle Public Schools this month started rolling out a new software from a startup called Magic School AI. They sell generative AI tools to help teachers quickly generate lesson plans, student feedback, and more. It's a Denver, Colorado-based company founded last year. It has separate tools for students designed to enhance learning and teach responsible AI use. Seattle schools will use Magic School software for both teachers and students and has resources, you know, to help everybody. But, I mean, we know a lot about it. About AI, but given the novelty of this tool, they're still exploring its potential to enhance student learning while maintaining a focus on fostering, you know, thinking and creativity. It was actually the product founded by a former principal and teacher, Adil Khan. I don't know that. Oh, is that anything? Is that like Khan Academy Khan? Oh, that would be cool. Magic School is used by 2,500 schools and district partners already. So you can prompt it to generate teaching materials based on your own parameters. And obviously, humans have to like look over it. You're still the subject matter expert and you have to vet it and make sure that it is actually accurate. There are 60 different tools available. It's growing fast. They say that it's client that with federal laws, you may be thinking, what about COPPA and FERPA and all of those like student data privacy laws? And apparently it is compliant, but it's new, right? So it's like, what is it actually really doing with the data? I guess if it's a closed AI or you get your own AI and nobody else's data goes in, who knows, right? Mm-hmm. It trains its models to moderate content for students too. So, you know, bad words and that kind of stuff. It's, you know, also billed as like maybe a more affordable option than like Copilot or ChatGPT. I mean, it has to be more affordable than Microsoft, who knows how to get a buck out of everything. And then, yeah, you know, I think it's interesting to think that school divisions have to kind of lean in on this a little bit in that, you know, their kids are going to use it if you don't, you know, unless you like completely block everything on that, you can't even block stuff on like their own personal devices. So you kind of have to get with it, but it's kind of scary, I think, a little bit. You know, the future is very uncertain and we don't know exactly how this is all is going to play out, and certainly ethical implications, plagiarism and all that stuff. But teachers, as we know, well know, are some of the, you know, most underpaid and hardest working people. And plus having to deal with like behavioral issues and all of that stuff. If you can take something off of their plate like this, I'm all for it in a way that still maintains the fidelity of learning and all of the stuff they need to do. Maybe they even come up with like more engaging and interesting things than your average like brand new teacher might think of. So I don't know. I think it's kind of interesting to see now that some of these schools are rolling it out of what will actually come of AI and education. So we'll see as Seattle Public Schools monitors or pilots this program.
Yay. Do it right.
Yeah.
So Tim Kring's Heroes is eyeing a second encore with Heroes Eclipsed, a new incarnation of the popular 2006 superhero drama series, and it's being pitched to buyers now near the solar eclipse. You see what they did? See? The original series did start off with a solar eclipse in the pilot, which became a recurring element throughout the series. It was also in its logo, because in fairness, Heroes really did have a lot of darkness covering its light. Written by Kring, Heroes Eclipsed is set years after the events of the original series as new Evos,
because that's what they're called, are being awakened and discovering powers that will change their lives, featuring familiar villains, new enemies who once again will be attempting to suppress this next step in human evolution. It'll be up to this new group of heroes to save the world and presumably a new cheerleader. The premise evokes the 2015 limited series Heroes Reborn, also created by Kring, which was set years after the original series introduced a new group of Evos, because that's what they're called, as more ordinary people discovered that they have unique abilities. New characters were joined by, like, you know, Noah Bennett, Jack Coleman, and Sinha Ramathirmi, whose name I never get right, Masioki, Greg Grunberg. I still want a Christopher Eccleston spinoff, and I'm never, ever going to get it. Heroes ran for 4 seasons after an incredible first season that everybody really, really loved. Save the Cheerleader, Save the World was on everything. It was crazy. It earned an Outstanding Drama Series Emmy nomination. But the original series and, you know, later seasons and Heroes Reborn didn't fare quite as well. Whatever. According to sources, the new Heroes incarnation, which is envisioned as an ongoing series, has been pitched to NBC along with streamers. Even though the writer's strike happened, look, we got to be honest, Heroes only ever really had one good season. The whole circus of crime thing was just stupid. And look, if you're trying to bring Heroes back again, keep bringing it back. Your heroes are really going to become villains. GRD is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, United States 3.0 license. Check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. Stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. I'm just saying, let it die. any chance Heroes could come back and wow us again like they did the first season? Any chance at all?
No.
I don't think so either. No. That's a damn shame.
Are they
shame.
Able to get Hayden Panties back? Maybe.
Well, I mean, I'd kind of watch. So drop us a note. It's podcast.
Like a mom of 3 now. Huge.
And?
You're a cheerleader.
And what do people call me? At geekradiodaily.com. Of course, send us a voicemail or text message at the magic numbers of
510-GRD-CREW.
And we will have a show that will be recording from RavenCon, and that's kind of the thing. So deal with it.
First of all, a podcast takes a lot of work, okay?
Good night, suckers.
Well, here we go again.
So you want to be a hitman? Gordon's making me. I don't want to.
Yeah, it's a lousy way to make a living.
I don't think I can do this.
Hey, come on. I want to take a positive approach to this. Have you ever killed a guy before?
No.
Shot a gun?
No.
Well, I'll let you in on a little secret. Neither did I when I first started, and now look at me. I'm number one here.
You can do this. Trust me, huh?
Huh?
I guess I don't have a choice.
No, you don't. And one other thing. I won't work with a guy who enjoys it. Things can get out of hand. I've seen it happen. Treat this as a job. You'll be fine.
Okay.
You sure don't want any juice?